What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Three in the Key podcast. Myself, Rai Chai, it's what the friends call me, feel free to do the same. Sitting across from the one and only, like always, MD. Sir, we're sitting in a beautiful office here in Irvine, courtesy of WeWork. You feeling like a baller?
I am feeling like a baller. I'm feeling like we own the world right now. Like, I'm like, when is Three in the Key podcast going to become a conglomerate? When are we going to start other podcasts about other NBA teams? Have people under us start telling them what to do, boss them around, become the next Barstool Sports or something? I'm stoked. I'm feeling really good.
Same, man. I'm going to be walking out of here with my chest out, shoulders back, just feeling great. And then I'm going to get into my Honda Accord that was recently keyed and be humbled.
I'm going to get out of here, just keep doing the LeBron thing and Dwight thing with their shoulders. Oh, just all the way out to look like maybe look like I have like some issues, special needs child. Thanks, Colby, for all your help.
Please stop doing that.
Okay, I'm done.
I'm going to leave this office. Yeah,
that's right. I forgot. These aren't real walls. They're just glass. Definitely. People can see how awkward we look.
We'll never be invited back if you keep doing that. Well, dude, kind of crazy. You know, we're 1 week removed now from the Kobe Bryant tragedy that took place last Sunday. And the Lakers organization did a phenomenal job paying tribute in the first game. First Laker game since the tragedy on Friday, I believe it was, against the Portland Trail Blazers.
Right.
They brought out Usher, did his rendition of Amazing Grace, which is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand some of it because I feel like he was just like coming from the soul.
And, yeah.
But it sounded beautiful.
So are you saying you don't have a soul?
I mean, I have a soul, but I'm not soulful. I'm a very light-skinned man. I sunburn easily. So I felt like I just couldn't understand it at some points. But it sounded beautiful nonetheless.
It was amazing.
I'm actually a big fan of Usher, so it was cool to see him out there paying tribute. He did a great job.
And then Boyz II Men did the anthem.
That's right.
Wow. Philly, you know, representing Kobe, some Philly boys. It was crazy. I don't think there was a dry eye in the stadium.
Heck
LeBron,
no.
All of the Lakers were crying. Quinn Cook, LeBron, AD, everyone, KCP. I was like, I can't believe you're going to play a basketball game after this.
I thought the same exact thing because as fans, we're watching the tribute and we're just, you know, crying or reflecting and have a heavy heart. And then you think about these guys have to get into a space mentally where they're going to go off physically and like get into that place where they're competing against the best in the world. Like that's a very hard place to get to mentally for anyone, especially for someone like the Lakers and even the Portland Trailblazers after witnessing a tribute like they did and thinking about Kobe. So hats off to them for being able to get through a game like that. And then on the court, unfortunately didn't translate to a victory. We got beat 127 to 119. But, dude, you got to pay respect to Dame Dalla because that guy has been on another level recently.
He literally has taken Mamba mentality and he's like translated it into his game. He is lifting Portland single-handedly back into the playoffs. They're like the ninth seed right now.
They are.
So close to making the playoffs and beating out Memphis. They just beat the Jazz. They just beat another team. He has been averaging like 45 to 48 a game. It is very much Mamba-esque in the way he's playing. Back in when we had like Sasha and Smush Parker and all of them. Like he is killing it and I'm proud. Like you and I both had this discussion. If we weren't Laker fans, we'd be Portland fans because of the way Damian Lillard holds himself. He's definitely, to both of us, the closest thing, the second coming of the Mamba, or the closest thing to a Mamba in the NBA, at least to me right now, and the way he plays and the attitude he has and the way he works.
Yeah, right now, the way that he's playing the past couple of weeks, there hasn't been performances like this since Kobe.
Yes. You know, 40, averaging like six straight 40 point plus games.
Right. I think you're right. He's averaging something like 45 points a game. But what's even more impressive is he's also averaging like 10 assists or over 10 assists
right.
In addition to that. and hitting an insane amount of threes. I think he, over the last five game stretch, he broke an NBA record for a number of threes.
I saw that. And he's being efficient. It's not like he's taking ridiculous like shots and volume score. He's being so efficient. And his 3 points, speaking of his 3 points, they've been from the logo.
Dude, logo Dame.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, everyone talks about Steph and how Steph started hitting from the logo, but to me, I always remember Dame shooting from the logo first, from that far back before Steph did, before the Warriors got big. And I was like, Dame did it first. It's amazing how good this guy is. And he has to. I've definitely seen him. He has to kind of stretch the players out to guard him more because everyone's kind of figured out, oh, this is his range. We can lock him down or stay up, and then we'll have the center move over or second defender come and help. But you can't do that anymore as long as he keeps extending his range. Oh, man.
Right. So he was recently and obviously named Player of the Week by the NBA. Listen to these numbers. He's in the past week, he averaged exactly 45 points, 7 rebounds, and 11 assists.
Oh, my goodness. I don't remember a player ever recording something like that. Maybe Harden. At one point, maybe he has like stretches like that, but I don't think it was 45 points for Harden. I think it was like 35,
yeah,
38.
I'm not sure.
45 points. That is ridiculous.
What gets me is the assists.
I know, 11 assists. What gets me is the boards. Dame isn't a solid big guard. He's like 6'2", you know?
Yeah.
But he's going for it. And like we're always told by coaches growing up, right? Rebounds are always just all about effort. Who wants it more and who's going to box out and who's going to get in position first. It's all about being mindful. And so Dame really has turned it on to another level, and I'm excited to see it.
Same. After that game, the Lakers played against the Sacramento Kings. They traveled to Sacramento, and they beat them handily. I think they were leading this game from wire to wire from the start to the finish, and they beat them 129 to 113. Easy win. Luke Walton, man, he's struggling in Sacramento right now. They're a team that a lot of people expected to make another jump, take another step into returning to the postseason, and they just haven't delivered. Like, this season so far has been a huge letdown, but it comes up, you know, it comes as a relief to us as Laker fans and to Lakers organization, because we needed a win just to kind of get back into somewhat of a normal rhythm again after everything with Kobe. That's not possible, but as much as possible, trying to move forward. And a relatively easy win in Sacramento helps that for sure. So the Lakers are going to come back home for a couple of games before going back on the road, and we'll talk about that later. But since everything that happened last week, the Lakers only played two games, so not too much to recap here.
I'm definitely happy they canceled the Clipper-Lakers game. I think that would have been too much for both sides because the Clippers organization felt it just as much, I feel like, as the Lakers did, especially sharing a building with Kobe. And a lot of the Clipper players are fans of Kobe or have been mentored by Kobe. Kawhi, PG, Jerry West, Doc Rivers had battles with Kobe. There's a lot of connection there still. And so it was definitely felt by the entire city of LA, not just Laker fans. I was talking about it with my dad the other day, and we were just in shock and awe of how incredible Kobe's impact has been. I don't even know like a president or dignitaries that have been celebrated and memorialized as much as Kobe has across the globe when they pass away. I mean, maybe when a president dies, it's thought of and felt here more in the U.S., than it is in other countries, but Kobe was felt everywhere, across multiple sports, across multiple languages. It was crazy how much he's being memorialized. And even just last night, this past weekend, in Abu Dhabi, the the tallest building in the world in Dubai is...
Khalifa Tower?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the Burj Khalifa something. I don't know how to pronounce it properly. But got lit up finally in purple and gold this weekend. And there is actually a picture of Kobe and Gigi on it too.
Okay.
It is crazy. Like, they just started doing it yesterday. It's still being felt. I'm surprised they actually took the Kobe tribute down yesterday because it was still drawing such large crowds, you know?
So they did take it down from Staples?
From the Xbox Center across from Staples, that little square.
Oh, Xbox the LA Square. Live area.
Yeah. Because I was going to ask you, like, it would be awesome for us to go this week, but they unfortunately took it down.
Yeah, that's a bummer. I wanted to make it out there, but I just couldn't find time.
It's hard,
honestly, yeah. But yeah, so we're moving forward as much as we possibly can. Still freaking sucks. But yeah, I'm looking up a picture right now. Like you mentioned, the Khalifa Tower paying tribute. That is super cool. That the quality of that image coming up on the tower is crazy good.
It's so nice, right?
And yeah, the picture of Kobe and Gigi, so...
It's crazy, though, how it's still being felt. Like, that just finally got up last week, or yesterday, Sunday. The world is in mourning, and so it should be. We lost a legend, an icon, and like we said last week, and like what we mentioned last week, let's see how the world reacts and how it pushes everyone to become better and become great and do the best at what they do.
Absolutely.
I'm hoping it pushes this Laker team to be the best that they can be and that they push it to another level after this to solidify themselves as not only the best in the West, but the best overall. We've had our mourning for the week. We lost a game. We won our game in Sacramento. We need to get our feet back underneath us, and we really need to make this count for Kobe.
For Kobe, indeed. Would you go as far to say that it's championship or bust for the Lakers in lieu of everything that happened with Kobe?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not only are Laker fans rooting for the Lakers to win a championship, but I've seen it all over Reddit, all over social media. Other fans, like New Orleans Pelicans or fans that are teams that are kind of irrelevant now, halfway through the season, that they really don't have a chance, are rooting for the Lakers. The world is rooting for the Lakers to win a championship and memorialize it for Kobe.
Yeah, I think it's something that isn't going to be spoken publicly by any of the players or the coaches, but I can almost assure you that that conversation's been had by the players at the very least.
Like, easy.
They're already chasing a championship for sure, but they're going to go as far as to dedicate this season to Kobe. And the best way to do that is by delivering a championship to the city of Los Angeles.
Right.
So yeah, it won't be said. I think that would be foolish, but I can almost guarantee that it's already been talked about and they're going forward every single game with that mentality to make sure that they win the championship.
I mean, there's a KB patch on all of their jerseys now.
Yeah.
There's no way they're going to forget every game. I'm so excited to see after a week of mourning and emotions releasing and closure, hopefully for this team, that they'll bring it to another level. But speaking of this team and bringing it to another level, let's talk about our first key and jump into the craziness that is going to be the trade deadline this upcoming Thursday and ending it.
All right, MD. So free agent and trade season is upon us. I should really just say trade season. That's what I meant to say. I don't know why I said free agent season. I was reading something about free agency before I started talking. Anyways, the trade deadline this Thursday, I think it's at noon our time, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Are we going to make a move? What's going to happen? Look into your crystal ball. Tell us.
I still definitely think Kuzma's going. He's going somewhere. Don't know where yet, though. We'll see if we can package a deal for him. But we don't need another scorer. We need another ball handler. We need a ball handler and a scorer. And I think one big name that's not being attached to the scoring and to free agency and pushing because Kuzma's contract is so low is Rondo. I think we're going to have to move Rondo along with Kuz in order for us to match any kind of salaries or anything. I definitely think the Lakers are going to make a move for Darren Collison to replace Rondo and then upgrade and try and get a better wing defender other than KCP. Wing defender, 3-and-D defender, whether that's Covington, Josh Richardson, someone to kind of just help us there to replace Kuz. Because, again, he needs to eat in order to be effective. And he can't eat with AD and LeBron on the floor. They're taking too many shots for him to really become Kuz. Like, I know we talk about how he has so much more potential than a lot of the Lakers.
Yeah.
Like what we talked about with Josh Hart and everything. But we don't need someone with potential right now. We need someone that can have an effect on the team. And we're just limiting his potential. Just like how B.I. would not be B.I., who he is right now, if he was on this team. Because he would not be getting the ball. He wouldn't be force-fed. Same thing with Julius Randle. Same thing with D'Angelo Russell. It's a sad fact, but I'm happy for them. Because the only way for them to grow was to go onto those teams. And we're seeing that now with Kuz. I mean, I think it's kind of time for him to go. He isn't going to grow anywhere. He's where he's at, and it's not helping us. 17 points a game or 0 points a game. It's like hit or miss, no consistency. And those are shots that I'd rather give to Dwight, KCP, Danny Green, Avery Bradley right now instead of Kuz.
It's amazing how polarizing someone like Kuzma is, because you can talk to 10 different people who know the NBA or the Lakers really well, and you're going to get 10 different responses about their outlook for Kyle Kuzma. One person will tell you that he's garbage and is never going to become anything even remotely close to a star in the league. And then someone else will tell you that given the right system, given the right utilization, he can be a superstar. And it's just a matter of time. And he's still young, and he just needs more time to be able to feel it out. But I'm going back and forth personally. I know you and I have talked about this multiple times already. And some weeks I'm like, trade him. Some weeks I'm saying, keep him. I'm currently standing again on the perspective of he needs to be traded for the reason that you described. He thrives well when he's able to get a large quantity of shot attempts. But when AD and LeBron are both healthy and playing in a game, his production just declines so much to where it's not really a surprise anymore, you know? Like, it's a trend.
Right.
And it's even going from a trend to just being factual.
Yeah.
Kyle Kuzma is not a good fit for this Lakers team when both AD and LeBron are healthy and playing. And so with that said, and bringing this to the whole point of where we're at right now with the trade deadline coming up, I think we are in agreement. We want to trade him, but the bigger question is it possible? Is it realistic to be able to trade him and get something back that makes it worthwhile?
And that's the issue we're having. I know there are a lot of potential buyouts talking about, some free agent signings with Darren Collison still in the mix. I know buyouts, everyone's talking about Iggy, how Memphis still wants a first-round pick, and with 4 days, 3 days left, no one's given him a first-round pick. No one's an idiot. Like, he's $17 million. It's crazy. He hasn't even played for Memphis yet. So everyone's saying it's literally just going to be a waiting game until they find something, or they're going to get a second-round pick and just ship him off. Damari Carroll's another name for a buyout. Deion Waiters. There have been a ton of names tossed out this week. I know this is a fun and crazy week, so you and I will definitely have our phones on high, volumes on high, looking at alerts all week. And if anything comes up, I know you and I will be texting each other like crazy. And it's exciting, but at the same time, it's worrisome. Like, what are the Lakers going to do? There are so many names. What is actually going to help us, and who can we actually get is always a fun discussion. For me, it's Darren Collison and Andre Iguodala. Whatever needs to happen to get those two pieces of the puzzle, because like we've talked about, we're in a win-now situation with LeBron. He has three more years on his contract. His window, to me, this opportunity of window for winning a championship is now. I don't think he's going to be the same at the end of his contract as he is now. He maybe has another good year in him, maybe, but we are definitely seeing Father Time catch up with him. I think the perfect example of Father Time catching up with him is that game we lost to Portland. He was 9-for-22. Defensively, they just threw bodies at him. He got fouled a lot, got hit a lot, and he definitely, to me, should have had more fouls called in his favor. But he's not a great three-point shooter, and he doesn't know what to do when they body him anymore. Law of diminishing returns. It's happening. He's getting older and his returns are starting to slightly diminish. I definitely think he still has another level and can push it some more, but he's trying to also save himself for playoffs. So we'll see. Those are my two. What are your thoughts?
I want Iggy. I do.
Yeah.
There's no way it's happening, to be honest. There is an update by Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report. he spoke with one of the Grizzlies executives, and the executive's quote was, "We will trade him, period." Like, they're not going to buy him out, is what I'm getting at. And if he doesn't get bought out, we don't have a chance at getting him, because you and I had the trade machine pulled up from ESPN. Iguodala is making over $17 million.
Crazy.
So in order to make that trade happen, we have to get the outgoing salaries to match. So, and Kyle Kuzma, who we want to trade, is under $2 million. Like, not even close. So you'd have to throw in like a Kuzma, Rondo, Caruso.
KCP.
Like,
Caruso's name I actually heard was one of the, like, Memphis was willing to do it if they get Caruso and Kuzma. And I don't think Caruso is someone you want to give up.
No, he's a good rotation player for sure. But even so, like, that's not even matching up, because Caruso is making 2.7 and Kuz is making 1.9. So you're still drastically short. You have to throw in some of these big salaries, like a KCP. I mean, Danny Green's not going to get traded, but KCP and Rondo, they both have no trade clauses. So, yeah, like, they just can't get traded whatsoever. Unless they agree to it, which, I mean, do we highly really think they would agree to going to Memphis?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, John Morant's good, but to go from the best team in the West to someone who's fighting for the eighth seed,
right?
Not really seeing that happen.
That is crazy. Iggy is the highest paid player on Memphis right now. Huh. And he's not even playing.
Nope. Cash and checks.
Yeah, they need
sitting at home just waiting to be
smart
traded.
Smart man.
It is crazy.
They just need to get they're gonna trade him, but we'll see. Maybe we can do a three-way deal with another team that can happen that doesn't really want Iggy, but will want the assets that we can provide them with Kuz and with some other salary matchup somehow. I know everyone is up for grabs on the Lakers. Almost everyone except for LeBron and Anthony Davis, if they think it's going to make the team better. But we'll see. KCP has been playing so well, too. I actually don't want to trade him.
I wouldn't trade him.
I never thought I would say that ever in my entire life.
Yeah, November.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I love that he comes off the bench, and he's shooting 3 points like a madman, and he's fits the system so well. I definitely will give props to him. I totally forgot, too. He's pretty young. He's only like 28.
Yeah,
he's 27, young, 28. So he's young. It makes sense why we were talking trash, and he's definitely developed a lot better.
For sure. And then just kind of another update on Darren Collison. There was an update, really just more of a reminder that he's still committed to keeping his options between one of two LA teams. He wants to join either the Lakers or the Clippers. And so that's still out there. Like, the Lakers may not even have to make a trade to improve their roster.
Right.
If Darren Collison commits to coming to the Lakers, the team just has to make a decision on who to cut. Someone like a Troy Daniels, for example. And then we become better without even having to send out any of our key pieces. So that's always in kind of our back pocket as well. We'll see if it actually happens, but it is kind of nice to know that could go down.
Right.
You know, we could get the help that we need at the playmaking position at point guard without actually having to send anyone out and disrupting chemistry potentially. So good to know. Another thing that I saw with the whole Collison, this could very well go down, and I think will go down, him choosing the Clippers or the Lakers before the end of the month.
Yeah.
Because if I'm remembering correctly, I read something that said, if a player is going to be eligible to play in the postseason for a team, they have to have joined the team prior to March 1st.
Yeah, a certain date. Yeah, March 1st, certain date or something.
Yeah, I think it's like on or before March 1st. So, I mean, it's February 3rd at the time of this recording. So in less than a month, we could have an answer to our poor... yeah, our prayers. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for answering them. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I don't know, dude. I don't know what's going to go down. It'd be cool. It's really fun though to
imagine
daydream about upgrading and, not having to look at Kuz's ugly hair anymore.
Come on. It's gross, man. It's gross. But with the trade deadline coming up, we usually know what comes with a trade deadline. All-star game. And I know this has been an exciting time while we're on the edge of our seats waiting for the trade deadline to finish and any Laker news to come in. Let's talk about the All-Star game. Let's talk about reserve starters, the mock draft. We're going to do a little mock draft with you and I. So you'll be LBJ and I'll be Giannis or vice versa. We'll figure it out. We'll have Siri decide for us. Let's jump into that. So for the All-Star game, are you excited for it? I mean, I love the respect that they're giving Kobe.
I'm pumped, dude. Yes, absolutely. So I don't know if you heard, you probably did, but it's official now. One team is going to wear all number 24 and the other team is going to wear number 2.
Did you hear why LeBron picked 2?
I did not. What's because up with that?
He's a girl dad.
Wow.
Because of Zuri.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I was like, ah, oh, respect, dude. Ah.
And
feels, all the feels again.
Yes. And I don't think we talked about it at the top of the episode, but dude, his speech was incredible.
It was so good.
Really, really good. He handled that super well. I love that he just threw his notes on the floor and just said, no, forget this. I'm going to go from the heart because yeah. I'd be selling you guys short if I didn't.
Yeah.
So shouts to LeBron. I'm looking forward to seeing that game. I'm a huge fan of the All-Star game in general.
Of all the sports, it's the best All-Star game because albeit they don't play until the fourth quarter, but for the most part, it's still pretty fun. There's always highlights, crazy dunks, layups. Like, it's an actual game I look forward to watching. And the All-Star weekend in general, other than maybe the home run derby, it's another, like, the events I actually want to watch with the dunk contest this year with Dwight and with three-point contest. Three-point contest has actually become really fun. The last few years, everyone's watched that, and I think some of the years, other than the Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon year, the three-point contest was actually more interesting.
Yeah, it really was.
I'm excited for Aaron Gordon, by the way, to come back to the dunk contest.
Same.
It is going to be a good dunk contest.
I was just rewatching the highlights from the dunk competition between him and Zach LaVine, and dude, oh my God, that guy gets up, man. It's insane. I forgot about how he went underneath his legs, and he was practically sitting on a chair, it looked like.
While the guy was spinning on a freaking...
The mascot?
Yeah. Okay, honestly, I think Aaron Gordon should have won that year.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know why they gave it to Zach LaVine. Like, he dunked from the free throw. He did the same dunk twice from the free throw line. You know what I mean? One was just 360 and one was, I mean, I sound like a jerk saying, oh, one was just 360 and one was under the legs. But at the end of the day, that wasn't as creative as what Aaron Gordon was doing. Do you know what I mean? The creativity he was doing was off the charts.
For sure. I agree. It'll be fun.
You want to do snubs? Who do you think should have been like?
I was going to say, let's talk about the roster. So we officially know now who the starters were for a while, but we now know who the reserves are going to be rounding out the full roster of the All-Star game. So just kind of running through them really quick. For the reserves, there's Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, Chris Middleton, Sabonis, Tatum, Lowry, Simmons, Joker, Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Brandon Ingram, shouts. Chris Paul making a little appearance as well. People thought he was on a decline, but he's played really well. And then Russell Westbrook.
Russ does not look happy in his picture.
Yeah, he looks really... He's always mad, dude.
Well, CP3 looks really mad in his, too.
CP just looks like...
A bulldog.
Someone is just really offended him. Yeah. He's just like, why am I here?
He looks like Powell just patted his head again. Do you remember that?
I love that, yeah. Oh, man, I love Powell. Look at Jokic, man.
He's in Colorado, so he might have had a little fun before he took his photo.
He definitely might have. He's all squinty-eyed and looks like he just woke up.
And then look at Ben Simmons, the exact opposite.
Awesome, cheesing.
Don't worry, we'll post these photos on our social media. Great, you guys need to look at them and understand.
Great content for an audio podcast, talking about the pictures we're looking at. Oh, man. If you get a chance, just go on the NBA website and look at the All-Star roster. All their pictures are on there. Some of them are pretty funny, as we were talking about. Snubs. Anyone who stands out to you off the top of your head who did not make it for the reserves that should have been?
To be honest, no.
Wow.
I'm happy with the reserves. A lot of people are saying who should have made it. totally forget off the top of my head.
Caruso?
Well, he definitely should have made it.
One of the top vote getters, man.
I mean, he's the GOAT, dude.
Yeah.
He is definitely the GOAT. Who is it that should have made it? It was a guard. Everyone, Devin Booker. They were saying Devin Booker is a snub. And, I mean, the only other player I see that you replace him with is with B.I. But the others, like, especially coming from the West, like, that's expected. So, to me, the way to work around being a snub, not getting snubbed, is you stop doing East and West reserves. You just do the best players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't get rid of the starters, so at least keep the starters for East and West, but the reserves should just be the best players total, especially now that we're not even doing an East versus West. It's a Team Giannis and Team LeBron, which I love the change, but you definitely need to do that and update it to where the reserves are whoever.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. And I can see the NBA's reasoning behind it, because you're going to get, when the West is dominating like they oftentimes do, you're going to be underrepresented on the Eastern Conference, and some of those markets that need to be selling tickets, need exposure, aren't going to get the exposure that they want. But yeah, I agree. I think the best player should ultimately be in the All-Star game no matter what, and this avoids some of the snubs happening. But all that said, I do believe, as you do, that we got it right, that the fans and the assistant coaches got it right with the reserves. I was most impressed with Bam Adebayo from Miami getting selected. I had been watching him, seeing stats on him, and I thought he really deserved to be an All-Star, but I did not think he would actually become one. I didn't think the assistant coaches would put him in, but he's in there, man, and I think that is awesome. The biggest snubs who people will throw out there are going to be like a Bradley Beal, Zach LaVine, who kind of sucks. You and I were talking about it earlier. The Chicago homeboy.
Right, not being represented.
Not going to be represented in his hometown. And he's been playing well. But all things considered, I think we got it right. So with that, let's go ahead, MD, and transition into our mock draft. So for those of you who are not familiar, the way the NBA All-Star Game draft works, there are two captains, and they're going to be picking without regard to conference or position. The two captains of the All-Star Game are the two top vote-getters that were voted by the fans. And this year, that just happened to be LeBron James and Giannis, the Greek Freak. So same captains as last year. LeBron was the top vote-getter between Giannis and himself. So that means LeBron's going to have the number one overall pick selecting from the starters. And then another clarifying point, something that MD and I just figured out. So Giannis and LeBron, the two captains, are picking from the pool of starters first. Once that pool is depleted, then they move into what's called the second round, where they're just selecting from the reserves. So when MD and I are picking our all-star team, we're going to follow the same format that's going to be followed when the teams are drafted, which I think is coming up. Do you know what the exact date is on that? I know I had it up on...
You did. I think it's the 6th. They are drafting on the 6th, the same day the trade deadline ends.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. The 6th. Dude, so that's just a couple days away. So that means later this week, before the next episode of the pod.
Right.
We will know the all-star team.
It's a fun week for the NBA. Now that NFL is over, NBA takes over the sports world. And everyone overanalyzes and talks about it. And NBA is the best sport. I mean, I'm obsessed with it even when the NFL is going on.
And you know that was calculated and intentional right after the Super Bowl ends.
Oh, of course.
Trade deadline, all-star draft, all-star game. It's totally intentional. And the NBA just nailed it. And I love the new format, too, with the captains picking and everything. All right, MD, how are we going to decide on who's LeBron and who's Giannis?
You want to flip for it?
All right, let's flip for it. I have pulled up on my laptop a very ghetto-looking website called random.org, where we will flip a penny. Heads or tails, my friend?
Tails never fails.
And let's see if it has failed you or has not failed you. Well, I'm assuming...
How can you tell if it flipped?
I'm assuming...
Flip again?
I did click flip again.
But it never changes.
And again.
It's always...
Nope, there... Yeah, it was just tails three times in a row.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so you get the first pick. So that means you're LeBron in this scenario because LeBron's picking first. So let me go ahead and pull up our starters. And to remind our lovely listeners out there and ourselves, the starters that can be chosen from are Anthony Davis, Embiid, Kemba Walker, Luka, Harden, Leonard, Siakam, and Trey Young. All right, MD, with the number one pick in the 2020 All-Star Draft, who do you select?
Luka Doncic.
Ooh.
LeBron and Luka on the same squad. Game over. GG.
The Don.
Well played.
The Don. He has great hair, by the way. I'm just looking at it right now.
It's very Gordon Hayward-esque.
It is. It's like it's got this natural like flowiness to it. So great selection if you're thinking about hair. But
I'm writing it on the whiteboard, Luka.
All right, Luka's off the board. All right, so that means Giannis is up to the podium. And with my first pick, I will be selecting Anthony Davis.
I thought so.
Give me the man AD, the brow, averaging 26.6 points, 9.1 rebounds, and an obscene amount of blocks, which I do not have the stat pulled up on here, but I know he's swatting them. So go ahead and put AD down on the board for me.
You have your own marker.
Dang it, dude. You're right. All right. I'm going.
For my pick, since you've gone and picked the brow away from me, I'm going to go ahead and... Since I believe the All-Star game is all about guard play, I'm going to take the hard man, the Harden, Mr. James.
The beard.
The beard.
The hard man. No comment, man. No comment. All right.
Hard man. Ma'am.
So your backcourt is solidified right there.
It's fire, dude. We're just going to rain threes from above. Death from above.
Crap. All right, all right, all right. With my second pick, so far I have myself, Giannis, and AD. I'll be selecting Kawhi Leonard.
Good pick.
I don't like the man as a Laker fan, but put him on my team for the All-Star game. I will choose to love him this weekend. It's on the board.
Right. For the fifth pick in our mock All-Star draft, as Team LeBron, we select the man that no one understands, who needs accent reduction, and my wife can help him with that when she's done with her degree as a speech pathologist.
Nice.
The man, the process, Joel Embiid.
The Rihanna lover himself. Still looking for that date, I believe.
Never happened, right?
It has not happened, unfortunately. I'm holding out hope for him.
Fingers crossed.
All right, so you're moving. You're transitioning now to filling out your front court, I see. All right, very nice. So your team so far is sitting at LBJ, Luka, Harden, and Embiid. I am with Giannis, AD, and Leonard so far. So with my... third pick, I will be selecting Trey Young.
Great pick.
I'm going to go put him on the board now. He's going to be dropping plenty of threes, my friend, to hopefully offset the barrage from Harden and Luka on your side.
All right. With my next pick, I'm definitely not picking the Celtic because... I'm a Lakers fan, and I can't pick the Celtics, so I feel bad for you. You're going to be forced to have him. But in the meantime, crap. I will have the Frenchman himself, Pascal Siakam.
Dang it, dude.
From Toronto.
Ugh. Okay, I was so torn whether or not to go Siakam over Young, but I realized that my backcourt needed help, so I had to go Trae Young. Dang it, dude. I really like Siakam. All right, so that leaves me... with Kemba Walker to round out my starters. So go ahead and read off who our starters will be
For Team LeBron, I'm picking that he will have LeBron, Luka Doncic, James Harden, Joel Embiid, The Process, and Siakam Pascal. For your starters, for Team Giannis, it'll be a big three of Giannis,
the AD, Greek Freak, the Brow,
Kawhi Leonard,
Terminator,
Trae Young,
Ice Trae,
and Kemba Walker.
Kemba. You don't get any nickname as a Celtic. You should be glad you're on my team to begin with.
Shall we move to the reserves?
The reserves,
so now that we're
we
in
go.
The second round with the reserves. Oh, by the way, I totally think Kemba Walker is going to be the last pick for the starters.
Yeah, I think you're right, man. I think you're right. I would say Trae Young and Kemba Walker are kind of in a similar tier when they're bunched together with all these studs. And don't get me wrong, Kemba and Trae Young are great, but I think you're right. They're going to be at the bottom.
I think they're going to pick Trae because Trey's more fun and he passes way better than Kemba does.
Good point. Good point.
I'm just an pro Lakers anti-Celtic fan too, so that's why. For the reserves, this time you get to go first. Team Giannis in the second round gets to go first, and Team LBJ will go second.
Heck yeah. All right, so I'm going first.
There are a lot of reserves.
There are a heck of a lot of reserves. All right, let me check what's going on here. I'm going to go with Jimmy Butler.
J-Butts. With my first pick in the second round, I'm going with the hottest man around, Mr. Damian Lillard.
Son of a...
He's going to just destroy.
How did I not see him?
We should totally play, like, we should have a draft and play this later on 2K20 today.
Dude.
That'd be fun.
I'm done.
Let's do it.
Dude, how did I not see freaking Dame Dalla on the list?
My team's not even going to make it to half court. We're just going to shoot all from half court.
Crap, dude. What was I thinking?
I was surprised. I was like, you're going to totally pick Damian Lillard.
What was I thinking? All right, well, you live and you learn, folks. So I'm just going to make up for it with this pick. It's got to be a good one. For my second bench player, I will be selecting the Joker, Nikola Jokic, the man who looks like he's on drugs in his picture.
Good pick. Good pick. For my second pick in the second draft, I am going to pick a Kobe fan himself.
Quinn Cook's not here.
I am going to pick someone who I think is an up-and-coming star and will be a future starter very soon in the West. And it is... the Utah Jazz, Donovan Mitchell.
Yes. I was hoping you wouldn't choose my guy. Take him. Take young Spider. Take the Spider-Man.
He's so nice, too, dude.
He is.
Have you seen like all those posts about he's like, hey, anyone know what to do? Or he showed up to that guy's barbecue that invited him? Such a good guy, Donovan.
Classy guy. 2018 Slam Dunk Contest champion. All right. Give me the sleepy man. Slender Man, B.I., Brandon Ingram. This dude is going to be
Bala.
Doing finger rolls from half court. No need to worry about Dame Dalla pulling up from the logo. This man's shooting finger rolls from the opposing three-point line with his length. So putting him on the board, B.I.
With my next pick, I am going with the man who refuses to shoot a three, and because he's just so big and such a good passer.
Say no
but
more.
But he's got a good smile on his pitcher, Mr. Ben Simmons.
Mr. Benjamin Simmons.
I mean, we have so many three-point shooters and scorers, we need someone to spread it around.
Well, he will certainly help you do that, because this man is not shooting any threes. Although, in the All-Star game, you might see him take some threes, which may not bode so well for you, because they might be clanking, the ones he does take. Those are probably coming like the first quarter, though, so no worries. All right. Who we got? Hate to do this to myself. Jason Tatum.
Oh, wow. He was a big Kobe fan. He loved Kobe.
Yeah. Putting him up there. The guy's averaging 21.5 points a game, 6.8 rebounds. He's got to work on an assist, though, averaging only 3. But I'll take Jason Tatum. Going to fill out some front court for us a little bit.
Since I have Pascal Siakam, I'm going to keep my French connection up. And I need another center to back up Mr. Joel Embiid. I'm going with the Rudy Gobert. Rudy.
Always a good feel-good story when we talk about Rudy. I got to watch that again. It's been a while. All right, Rudy's off the board. Let me look at my reserves here. So, yeah, I do need some help in my front court.
Dude, yeah, you only have Young and Kemba, but
I mean, I have
Tatum, B.I. They're kind of wings, though.
Yeah. All right, give me the Bam man, Bam Adebayo.
Good pick. He is a well-deserved All-Star this year.
He is, man. He is all heart. Underrated for sure. Even after getting this reserve nod, I hope that people start to recognize how good of a player he is, because he is very, very good on a very good Miami team, by the way, who people did not expect to be this good.
For my next pick, I am going to continue my trend of just having lights out shooters, and I am going to go with Chris Middleton. Just rain from 3-point range.
It's a great choice. Great choice. He was my next guy, not gonna lie.
Chris with a KH.
And I will go with Domantas Sabonis. I don't think I've ever said his first name in my entire life until now, because I'm just now seeing it on the screen. Sabonis, forward center, averaging 18 points, 12.7 rebounds a game. So I need this man to hold it down in the front court for us off the bench. So I'm putting him on the board, Sabonis.
All right, with my pick, I am going with another high flyer, someone that can get up, just all heart, big Kobe lover himself.
Ryan Moulton.
he definitely looks not happy in his picture, but...
The angry man?
The LA native, Russell Westbrook.
The Ninja Turtle. good choice. All right, we're getting down to the slim pickings, my friend. Looks like the remaining players are Kyle Lowry, Brandon Ingram.
Oh, and, you picked up B.I.
Oh, yeah. Kyle Lowry and Chris Paul.
CP, yeah.
Kyle Lowry for me.
All right, and CP3 for me.
All right, so that is the draft right there. So go ahead and read off your starters first, and then I'll read off my starters.
So for Team LBJ, I have LeBron James, Luka Doncic, James Harden, Joel Embiid, and Pascal Siakam.
And Team Giannis has Giannis, AD, Leonard, Trae Young, and Kemba Walker.
For LBJ team, LeBron James, For the reserves, I have Dame Dalla, Donovan Mitchell, Ben Simmons, Rudy Gobert, Chris Middleton, Russell Westbrook, and CP3.
And the reserves for Team Giannis, Jimmy Butler, Jokic, B.I., Tatum, Bam Adebayo, Sabonis, and Kyle Lowry. All right, what are your first impressions here? Starters-wise, who do you think won this draft?
I think starters-wise, I won. I definitely think you made it up with the reserves, though.
Yeah, I think my reserves have a little bit more depth, but I'm really mad at myself for not picking Lillard with the first pick.
If you picked Lillard, it would have tipped it a little bit more in your favor.
Yeah.
But we'll take a picture of this. We'll list this out on our social media, and we want all of you guys to vote. Who do you guys think had the better draft between Ryan and I, Team LBJ or Team Giannis?
Indeed. Well, you guys have the actual captain's draft to look forward to on the 6th, only 3 days away, which is on Thursday. So make sure to watch that, guys. We'll be watching it as well, and we'll figure out who the actual LBJ and Giannis pick and see if they compare to what MD and myself chose. So with that, MD, let's go ahead and transition into our third and final key and look ahead for the upcoming three games for the Lakers schedule. So the first game taking place is going to be on Tuesday against the San Antonio Spurs. And they're going to follow that with another home game in Houston on the 6th Thursday, same day as the All-Star Draft. And then concluding the week with an away game in Golden State on Saturday. Well, we got to talk predictions, man, because first of all, let's let the record show that you did win the month of January, our first official month of keeping tallies and seeing who got the predictions correct. You pulled away, man. We were in a close race.
It was really close.
For like the first 2 weeks of the month, and then you went on a nice little run, and I was just trying to make opposite predictions as you to try and gain some ground, and it just did not work. So props to you, man. You have a Popeye's chicken sandwich coming your way.
Woo-woo, spicy chicken, let's go.
It is on me. I will pay off my debts. And
maybe we can get it on our way home.
I think we should, to be honest. I am actually getting very hungry as we speak. Sounds really good. And we'll let you know if the Popeye's chicken sandwich lives up to the hype, because I am a skeptic and a Chick-fil-A enthusiast. So if I tell you that Popeye's chicken sandwich is better, you better believe it. But I don't think it will be. We'll see. All right, dude. So let's talk predictions. Upcoming three games, two at home, one on the road. I'll go first.
Yeah, go first.
The loser and trying to get some early momentum in this month. I'm going to say that the Lakers go 3-0 and that they win Spurs, Houston, and Golden State. San Antonio and Houston are going to be tough games. Golden State, I mean, they suck, so we're going to beat them. But Spurs and Houston, Spurs are playing better. I think they're now starting their infamous rodeo road trip, mm-hmm. where they have to be out of town because there's some rodeo, and they usually do well on this road trip and come back with momentum and climb the standings. But I think the Lakers will hold them off. How about you, my good friend?
I'm thinking the same thing. I'm thinking it's 3-0.
Darn you.
Lakers are definitely poised to solidify themselves, and they need to, like what we suggested. To me, it's so important right now to set yourself up after Kobe and say, we're doing this for him, we're playing our hearts out, and we're going to do whatever it takes to win. Whether we have inefficient nights, it just means we play harder on defense and make sure the other team has inefficient nights and do whatever it takes. To win these games. So I'm going 3-0. Lakers, let's do it. For our bet this week or this month for February, what do you want to bet on?
Ooh.
Loser has to get what?
Are we wanting to stay in the same realm of like food? Like
no, let's pain? Change it. We can change it up.
Maybe we should do something a little bit more tense. Like, I don't know.
I thought you were about to say something scary. I think, how about we put, I don't know. No, let's stick to food. It's a short month.
Sure.
Let's stick to food.
Is it a leap year?
March. No, I don't think it is. Is it?
I don't know. I'll look it up. Continue.
I think March would be a good month to make it worthwhile.
Okay. We'll think about it.
February, let's... it is a leap year.
Wow. What does that mean again?
There's an extra day in February. February 29th.
Live it up. Extra day. Doesn't come around every year.
Let's do Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Okay.
It'll be good to compare, like, right after. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. Definitely agree. How about we do a Chick-fil-A meal?
Let's do it.
Like, with fries and a drink.
Waffle fries for days, yes.
Yes, for sure. What sauce do you get, by the way?
For my fries?
Yeah. Or your sandwich, or your chicken, whatever.
Oh, I go with the Chick-fil-A sauce.
I used to be a huge lover of
Chick-fil-A sauce, and it's kind of weird, but I actually mix it with some buffalo sauce because I like the little spice.
Really?
So that, to me, is so good. And I'm a sauce fiend. So I'll have Chick-fil-A buffalo mixed, and then I'll have some ranch to change it up every once in a while.
So you don't mix the ranch with the buffalo?
No, no. My wife does that, and she loves it. But I keep the ranch separate because I am, like, ranch is on its own. It should be on its own.
I could see the logic behind that because the ranch kind of cancels out the spice
of the buffalo. It takes it over, and I'm like, why do you even mix it?
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I used to be a huge proponent of the Chick-fil-A sauce, and I ate so much of it that I'm, like, sick of it, and it's been that way for, like, 5 years. And so I just get 2 barbecue and 2 ranch every time I go. Super white of me. But
have you tried the there's like a honey mustard, not a honey mustard, but they have, like, it's in packets, it doesn't come in like little cups.
Yeah, that's honey roasted barbecue.
Honey roasted barbecue, yeah. That is actually pretty dang good.
That is. I just have a hard time with it because it's not in its own little container. Like, can't dip it, you gotta squeeze it.
Let's move on from that. That can get really bad really quick.
I'm sorry. All right. Well,
let's end with some point four.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
All right. So for point four, speaking of food, we have quite a few food options listed here. If you can't tell, we're obviously very hungry.
Yeah, I'm getting more hungry.
It's like 5 o'clock now on the Pacific Coast, and we're ready to eat.
I'm starting to get angry.
Yeah, angry. So for point four, we have a bunch of our favorite spots listed, some that Ryan has respectively worked at.
This is true.
So let's do it. You ready?
Sure.
Well, alternate. See, I'm hungry. I can't even talk. Alternate. So I'll do the first one, you do the second one, so on, so on.
Sure.
So Domino's or Pizza Hut? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Little
Caesars.
Pizza
Hut. What the heck, dude? It's not even an option.
I know. I should have included it. I totally forgot.
Little Caesars?
You don't like Little Caesars?
Here's the thing.
Hot and ready, the crazy bread is the best bread around.
Yeah, but this isn't a question about bread. Is it?
I don't know.
Are we incorporating, like... The pastas?
Everything.
Okay, sure, fine. But Little Caesars, okay, yeah, sure. Pizza Hut, I'm a fan of their pan crust, which I guess is also a bread. But, yeah, I've just always been a Pizza Hut guy. So,
I grew up with Pizza Hut, so maybe that's why I'm so sick of it.
It's true. Could be like the Chick-fil-A sauce of pizzas for you.
Yeah, that's why I like Little Caesars, because I barely get Little Caesars.
All right, to each their own. All right, moving on. In-N-Out or Shake Shack? 1, 2, 3, In-N-Out.
Shake Shack.
Who are you?
You gave me the dirtiest look right now.
Because I was ready to say I already knew what our answers were going to be, but I clearly did not. Now the sun is hitting me in the eyes.
I'm definitely... Okay, value-wise, you cannot beat In-N-Out. In-N-Out is hands down the best. But Shake Shack, the burger, is just... It's amazing. I love Shake Shack. It is so good. The meat and the patty just, it tastes so good. They do it so well. It's a lot more expensive, but it is so good.
It is good. I'm not saying it's not good. But
I do like, surprisingly, In-N-Out fries more than the crinkle cut fries, though.
Yeah, the fries at Shake Shack are really basic.
Yeah.
They're nothing like to write home about.
And for those of you that don't like In-N-Out fries, you got to tell them to do it light well. Light well, so it has a little bit more crunch, or even well, for those of you that like it a little bit more burnt. And trust me, you will change your mind about In-N-Out fries.
Hmm. Interesting. By the way, I just realized it's not nothing to ride home about. R-I-D-E. It's right.
You didn't know that?
I did not. Because when I said it out loud, I was like, kind of sounds weird. Ride home. I Googled it and it's right. Like you're riding home. I thought it was ride home. Like you're going home on your horse. Anyways. All right. You got this next one.
Next one is... Juice It Up or Jamba Juice? 1, 2, 3, Juice
Jamba.
It Up. I mean, I love Juice It Up. Nostalgia for me. I used to go to it all the time because it was much closer to my house.
Yeah.
Jamba for you because you worked there?
Yep. You got it, my friend. You got it.
Next one.
Starbucks, Pete's.
Coffee bean tea leaf.
Or coffee bean tea leaf. Couldn't read your writing. So we're picking a favorite coffee cafe with this one. 1, 2, 3, coffee bean.
Same, coffee bean tea leaf. Wow. I was like, I'm not going to, that's way too many words to say for a name. So
yeah,
I was just gonna...
you did go silent yeah. on me there. Yeah, I my childhood, actually, there's a lot of coffee bean in my life.
It's so good, though, too, the quality to me. They haven't kind of, Starbucks has just become so commercialized. The quality has gone down. Pete's is super good, but they don't do much cold coffee, and I'm a big cold brew, cold coffee kind of person. Iced coffee is my favorite thing to drink. I think it's because I'm on the West Coast. It's so hot here all the time.
Yeah. And people at Pete's kind of just seem a little uppity to me. Is that just me?
Yeah, they're kind of coffee snobs. I can see that for sure.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I go to Pete's. It's like, why? There's like a Starbucks right across the street.
Yeah.
Whatever. Forget those guys. All right. Next one. Going on to donuts.
Dunkin' or Krispy Kreme? 1, 2, 3.
Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, easy. Mm-hmm. So good. I literally just had Krispy Kreme yesterday for the first time in years. Oh, my gosh.
So good. When you get one that's hot and fresh and it's just like melting in your mouth. Gosh.
Dude, well, do you reheat it when you bring it home?
I do.
Yeah, for like
seconds. Seven seconds. You got to read the...
So good,
like
yes.
on the little...
It's so good.
Amazing. All right. Taco Bell... Or Del Taco? 1, 2, 3. Taco Bell. Wait, what? Did you say Del Taco?
Yeah.
Say it again?
I got confused when you said Taco Bell. I almost said Del Bell.
I know. I thought you said something made up.
Del Taco.
Oh, man.
So it's a close tie. To me, it's because Del Taco has fries. And I love the fries and the soft chicken tacos.
You know Taco Bell has fries.
Oh, the nacho fries.
Have you had them?
Oh my gosh, just kidding. Taco Bell. No. I made the wrong choice.
Wait, but
Taco
have
Bell.
You ever had the fries?
I used to have nacho fries like once a week.
Yeah, okay, good. I was going to say, if you hadn't had them, we're going to go right now. We're going to end the podcast right this moment and go and get
them. They're so good.
They are. Good. I'm glad that I swayed you there. But I could see that being a valid point if they didn't have fries.
Well, have you had the Del Taco burger? Surprisingly not bad.
No, I haven't had
it's
that.
It's pretty good.
Are there fries on
it? The chicken soft tacos, I will definitely say, are much better than any chicken tacos Taco Bell has. So if I want chicken tacos, I'm going to Del Taco. But Taco Bell, anything beef, I don't like any of the Del Taco tacos at all when it's beef or any of that stuff. It's just not as good. Especially like Taco Bell chalupas. Oh my gosh. Chalupas for days. You just turned me on to those dollar tacos. What are they called again?
They're like the double stack.
Something like something, that. Whatever. Something. It's a quesadilla with a taco, and it is amazing. Like, it's a hard taco shell wrapped in a soft taco shell, but there's cheese in between. Oh, and sauce. It's to die for. And
yeah.
It's a dollar.
They're called double stack tacos, and there's three different variations of them, and they're incredible. They're just a dollar. Please sponsor us, Taco Bell. Please. That's all I'm asking for. Is this me? Are you?
I think it's you.
Okay. A couple of classics here we got to choose from. McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, or Carl's Jr.? One. Wait, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Carl's.
Yeah.
Nice, dude. Yeah.
Dude, Western Bacon and Cheeseburger just beats out anything.
That's it. The other teams. That's it right there.
Even a McFlurry. Even a McFlurry, I will take a Western Bacon Cheeseburger.
If here's an 100% agree, and to take that point further, you go to the drive-thru in each of those places, there's only one of those locations where you know what you're going to get before you even get there. You go to Carl's, you're getting a Western Bacon Cheeseburger. Hands down. But McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, you got to stare at the menu for like 5 minutes before you order.
Yeah.
So you're like, I don't know what I want. Like, I'm just going to try and get a bunch of stuff that helps me feel like I made a good decision.
And I love late night McNuggets. Like, late night McNuggets are so good. But they don't beat out a Bacon Western Cheeseburger. If I could get a Bacon Western Cheeseburger over a late night McNuggets, I would do it every time.
100%. 100%.
And then McFlurry's gets beat out. BK, I haven't been to Burger King in forever, so I don't even know what they offer anymore.
BK Lounge.
And then Wendy's, it's good. And I love Frosty's, but...
Yeah, Wendy's would probably
be nice. The square patties are still just a turnoff to me.
Are they? I actually like that.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just kind of cool. A little edgy.
And for our last one, Popeyes or KFC?
1, 2, 3.
Popeyes. KFC. What?
I haven't had Popeyes in... I don't even know how long.
Okay, we're going to change that right now. Yeah. We're ending the podcast. All right, guys. All right, Ryan and I are going to go with Popeyes, and we're going to have Popeyes. We're actually going to get some chicken, too. So go Lakers. Have a good week. Stay. Everyone, turn your phone on loud because we all need to know what's happening, if Kuz is going to get traded, what's happening. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yep. Later, guys.